Hello, everyone. Let's get y'all in here. This is the special call for subgroup Losing 100. So let me make sure that y'all can hear me okay. If y'all will just put in the chat, if things sound all right, that would be awesome. If they don't, I'll get Mr. Crabtree down here, who always helps me out like a boss. All right. Sounds good. Good. The other day, we had a problem with Zoom. I don't know what was going on with Zoom, but it wasn't my end, and it ended up, I wasn't really watching the chat, so I didn't even hear all of it. So let me pull up. Am I pulling up Coach Julie and Coach Lisa? I think I am. So they're going to be in the Q&A for today and in the chat. So if you have questions, you can ask there. And then I'm going to be coaching anyone. So this call is specifically for anyone who belongs to the subgroup Losing 100 Pounds. This means that you have 100 plus pounds to lose and you'd like to get coached and stuff on any topics related to that. That doesn't mean you still have 100 pounds to lose. So let's say you started in that group and you have things you would like to be coached on as you're losing weight, because speaking from someone who I literally this morning was just having a rough day. I'm sure most of you can relate. Sometimes you just wake up and you're just triggered and activated all morning long. This was one of my mornings. It started from the moment my feet hit the floor. Every time I saw myself, I had negative things to say. My journaling was all about what's wrong with my life. I was in high anxiety, high worry, just felt like shit, needed to do a run. I swear to God, 30 or 45 minutes trying to figure out if I was even going to do it. Like, basically, what I could have done is just gone ahead, got on the treadmill, and skipped the negotiating part. And one of the things that I'm learning is skipping the negotiation part is where we minimize our suffering. If you're not going to do it, just decide. If you are going to do it, then just get started. But don't just spend a lot of time negotiating and trying to figure it out and waffling back and forth. That part sucks. And so if I could do it over again this morning, like, the lesson that I want to take from it is, rather than trying to figure out all the different ways that I could do it later and should I or shouldn't I, how do I really feel, like all that stuff, I should have just went out there, got on the damn treadmill, got started. And if it didn't go well, I knew that that would know that was when I should stop. And so I eventually ended up getting on the damn treadmill and did like a 50-minute run and actually ran faster than usual. So, like, all of you, like, your mood doesn't matter. Whether you believe you can or not does not matter. Nothing matters except you taking some action. Now, there are easier ways to take action, but at the end of the day, like, we don't have to feel good in order to do something good for us. We just need to get started. And so, like, this morning I was sitting there after I got done with it thinking, I spent a lot of time this morning trying to feel good first before I did good things for myself. And I wonder what this morning would have been like if I just decided, I don't feel good, but I'm going to do good things for me anyway. And then we'll see what happens. So just something to think about. All right. Penny, you're up first. So anybody can raise their hand who would like to come on screen and get coached, as long as you are in the Losing 100 Pound subgroup. All right, Penny. That's good. There you go. That's to unmute. There you are.
There we go.
Hi. Hey, how are you? What do you want to do?
I've really been interested in all of the zone work that you've done with Big Ass Action. Mm-hmm. And what I've been finding, and I was talking about this with some friends on Friday, is, okay, I'll get to a certain weight decade where I've, you know, I'm in this, like right now I'm in the 220s to 230s.
Okay.
And I will teeter in there for like a few months, and I'll go between being content zone, and then I'll get in the scared shitless, and then I'll get down to the next one. And I'm trying to break the barrier to where I can be in the growth zone.
Okay.
And just wondering what your thoughts would be.
Well, I need to know your thoughts more than we need to know mine. Who gives a shit what my thoughts are? You're the one who got to do the shit.
Well,
so let's do this. When you're in, when you like, so it's comfort zone, just so we get everybody on the same page. What we're talking about here is Big Ass Action is a self-paced course that we're doing. So if you're brand new, don't worry. It's not inside of No BS. It's inside of the self-paced course that you can take after you have done the No BS. So there's three zones. Number one is your comfort zone. This is where most of us live most of the time. This is where the brain wants to be. It wants to be in the comfort zone. And that's fine as long as what's in your comfort zone is effective habits. For one of us, our comfort zone is not exactly the most infamous range of effective habits that we've ever seen. So the next zone is what we call the growth zone. This is the moneymaker zone. This is where you're slightly uncomfortable. You're challenging yourself a little bit. 1% changes. You're putting in triggers to do new habits. You're making it to where taking a step forward is easier and simpler for you to do. It's enough to challenge you, but it doesn't scare the shit out of you, which is what most of us do, which is called, we move to the scared shitless zone. So it's like, I don't think I can lose weight, or, you know, to get into the 210s, you know, it's going to require, I don't eat anything I like, Corinne. And so I'm going to go to this zone, scare the shit out of myself, cut out all of my favorite foods, and then wonder why I keep retreating back. Most of us, what's so crazy is we try to go into the scared shitless zone all the time, but the growth zone, we'll tell ourselves, it's not enough. And I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about? You know it's not good enough? Keep going back to this where failure always happens. That's called not good enough. Doing some shit that you'll get, like, and learn to consistently do over time and eventually get your goals, I would kind of call that effective. So we have to, like, rearrange our brain. All right. So I wanted to help you guys just at least understand what we're talking about. So Penny, here's the question. What do you, like, for you, what would the growth zone look like in order to, so where are you in the two, like 30s or the 220 range right now?
I'm in the 220s is where I'm at. Like,
so we're in the 220s.
My lowest has been 226.
Okay. Well, let's say that I'm like, Penny, it's me and you, game time. And like in 2 months, you're going to be in the 210s. That's like 8 whole weeks to lose 10 pounds. Plenty of time. So what would you have to do to lose 10 pounds in 8 weeks?
See, I'm going into scared shitless. See,
we don't know yet. You haven't said anything but giggled. So tell us what you think you need to do. And then we're going to figure out, is it really the scared shitless zone? Or is it you're not giving yourself enough credit zone? Which is like a hybrid between these two.
I would think, okay.
10 pounds in 2 weeks.
10 pounds in 2 weeks.
10 pounds in 8 weeks. Sorry.
8 weeks. I was like, whoa. No.
Yeah.
Well, I would have to, if I'm thinking of 1%, like you teach us, I would think, okay, right now, I would probably, my exercise is really good. My water is really good. I've been slaying my exercise with the Big Ass Action. I'm trying to think of my wins that I've been doing. I guess I would have to, one of the things I would have to probably limit, like, after I feel like, cause I know it's enough not to gain weight, but it's not necessarily enough to lose weight. Maybe instead of ever having a small little dessert after dinner every night, maybe if I did it 5 nights instead of 7, I'm trying to think, because I know that's where I get into comfort zone. Well, I know enough about my body to know what's not going to make me gain.
Your brain is really trying to fight this. All I want you to do is I just want you to open up to all the ideas. I don't want you judging them. I don't want you to think like, well, that's a bad one. This is a good one. Like, just come up with ideas. And then I'm going to take you through a process to evaluate it.
Okay.
And so what all I need right now is your brain telling me what it thinks it would need to do in order to do this.
Okay. So
5 of 7 nights a week. Have dessert, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. When you have the dessert, are you eating a little less dinner so that you have room for the dessert? Or how is that dessert getting added as of right now?
Not all nights. Some nights, yes, but not all nights. I'll have to say, because some nights I'll go, you know, oh, do I really need this tonight? And I'll think, because I had enough dinner, and then I'll go, oh, yes, I do. And then other nights I'm really thinking and I go, okay, leave enough, you know, so you can. So I'm not consistent with that.
So here's my advice is before we go off into scared shitless land, one thing that you already know you could do is just leave room for dessert.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know it's old school as fuck, but that is what they always say, leave room for dessert. Because back in the day, there was no glory for stuffing yourself.
Right.
You know, like 100 years ago, we weren't sitting around emotionally eating. We had like food insecurity everywhere. And it was like, leave room for dessert, mainly because desserts were such a treat in old school times. Like that was a delicacy. I remember my grandmother, she was one of 9 on a working farm. If they had dessert, like that was a banner day.
Mm-hmm.
And they were considered rich for their area. Just a small cotton farm in a small area. But still, like we don't even think about those things. Like it's something so simple as I'm going to have dessert. I really like dessert. I'd like to have it 5 of 7 nights a week. So on those nights, I will leave room for dessert.
Perfect.
Okay. What's that? What else?
Consistently close the kitchen at 8 o'clock. I'm not consistent with that.
What does it mean to close the kitchen at 8 o'clock?
Nothing but water for me after 8 o'clock.
So what is happening after 8 o'clock when the kitchen's wide ass open?
Oh, what I, well, I have. I have a habit of sweet salt. So sometimes if I have that dessert, I'll have some popcorn because then that's the salt fix.
Well, that's fine. That can be considered as dessert. I don't care if it's popcorn or if it's chocolate. I don't care if you mix some chocolate chips in the popcorn to get both.
Yeah.
I want you to decide whatever it's going to be.
But that's not what I was doing. I would have the dessert and then I'd have the popcorn later. So,
okay. So do we need to, like, how often is that happening?
That would be fair to say every night. Usually on again, eating to numb, usually on high stress days, in all honesty. Which is probably.
All right. So here's the thing. This is what all of you need to pay attention to. She's wanting to, like, I need to close the kitchen at 8 o'clock in order to get my goals. But she's not mentioned one thing about, like, I really need to do X for high stress days. Here's what I need to do. Take away my only outlet and then wonder why I struggle.
Yeah.
So we want to, that's why I'm asking the questions. We want to articulate the real problem. The real problem is not salty, sweet. You've already identified the problem. I don't have an outlet for high stress days. I just call them high stress days. There's not even such a thing. There are days. Here's what's really happening. Penny has days. A lot of things happen in that day. Penny's mind goes hog wild and creates stress about them.
Mm-hmm.
The fix is not popcorn. The fix is not lose 10 pounds. Let me ask you this. Are you still, like, if we don't change anything, let's say I lopped off 10 pounds right now, would you be like, well, shit, I don't need to stress eat popcorn no more. Like, I'm just going to feel good every night because I lost 10 pounds, gotten those two tents. I can promise, Corinne. All that shit I'm stressing about, I'm done worrying about that.
Yeah, no, I would probably go, no.
No, if we close the kitchen, like, let me just say, like, for the next 2 weeks, if you eat popcorn, like, I'm going to send in my drones and we're going to, like, shoot you in the toe.
Yeah.
You know, you eat, you're going to be toeless pretty soon.
Yeah.
You'd probably quit eating, but would you still be stressed? Or would you be like, oh, you know what? Chris drones and shooting me in the toe have now officially fixed my stressful life.
Yeah.
Right. So we got to have something on your plan. It's not about closing the kitchen down.
Okay.
It's like, why do I need the kitchen closed to begin with? If I'm not hungry, if I've had dessert, if I'm eating a solid dinner, what do I need to do about me setting myself up at night to want to eat? Because I keep thinking I have stressful days.
Yeah, I need to figure out something I can do at the end of the day when I get out of work. No?
No? You're wanting to do again. Look, is shooting you in the foot, taking away your popcorn, and getting 10 pounds off your ass overnight won't fix the stress? I don't think a bubble bath or reading a book or doing something else is going to do it either. What is causing the stress during the day?
My thoughts.
Like, which ones, though? I'm glad you said thoughts, because if you'd said something else, I might have flipped my wig.
Well, my thoughts of, oh, you're going to hate this, but I'm going to tell you anyways, my thoughts of people pleasing, my thoughts of analyzing every conversation I have that I maybe left somebody in a, what did they think when I said that? Or how, you know, I wind myself up.
So this is helpful because you're very on to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I would have on my, I'm going to lose these 10 pounds plan is I would make a list of your mental triggers. That wind me up. You can't fix anything by just trying to do some stuff. Like at the end of the day, just sitting around and thinking about, like, I need to be less stressed is not as effective as knowing during the day. Like when you probably know, like, what your thought loops sound like. Like you already said, like, when I wind myself up, when I'm people pleasing, you probably already know shit you think that's got you on the track of stress. Like when you catch yourself, like, replaying a conversation, it's never going to be helpful for you. You just need to tell yourself, that's not helpful. I'm just going to assume it went fine. How many times have you sat around replaying how you showed up in a conversation and it actually been worse or terrible like you imagine it? Like somebody's come back at you and just said, holy fuck, Penny, get out of my life.
That has never happened. In fact, 9 times out of 10, if I do go back to that person, they look at me like, what are you talking about?
Right. So we're just now going to go on your own historical data that what your brain thinks when it's replaying a conversation is wasted and not even true. Because if you haven't been, if you can't line up at least 10 situations, clearly all of you, if you can't give me 10 very clear situations where you know you did it wrong, you needed to go and apologize, and the other person is like, thank you, because I actually have been stewing about it, and you were wrong. Like, most of us don't even have 10 over the course of our life, but we'll spend at least 10 minutes first thing in the morning thinking about it, 10 more minutes after lunch, 10 more minutes after another conversation. Like, we're like all the time just assuming we're doing it wrong when we're just like, you just need to know, like, I'm going to make a list of the mental triggers. If I'm thinking about a conversation, like all these things, if I catch myself doing this, I want to put in a pause. This is my trigger to pause, to ask myself, am I winding myself up? If I am, what do I want to do about it right now? I think that is more helpful than trying to close your kitchen at night and keeping the habit of winding yourself up.
Yeah, you're right. Because it's just, yeah, if I do the other things, it's not really dealing with my mental triggers. It's just, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Now, if you want to close your kitchen at 8 o'clock, this is the thing about, I just saw my husband outside the window. That weird. It scared shit out of me. If you want to close your kitchen down at night, I don't think that's a bad idea. It just has to come along with this behavior. Otherwise, what you're going to experience is you closing the kitchen down, and then you're going to feel more stressed out.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Undealt with stress.
I sit on my hands, or I go and I eat. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to close the kitchen, but you need a mantra. You need to tell yourself something like why you're closing the kitchen. And it can't be something like to lose weight. It can't be, a stressful thought. It needs to be something that's going to tie you back to learning how to care for yourself.
Well, the one I thought of, but I don't know if it, I guess it would deal with care. One thing I've learned since being with you is that I no longer like going to bed feeling full. And so that has been one reason that I don't like to, and I want to get my sleep. So therefore I don't want to stay up 2 hours after that, because then I won't get my sleep. And I think about that sometimes, because I don't like the way my body feels when I'm full and I go to bed.
Well, I think both of those are good and you can add those in. But what we want to do is we want to close the kitchen with a mantra that reminds us of like how we're learning to care for ourselves. Because if right now the reason you're eating is to care for yourself, because it's like, I'm stressed because I spent the entire day winding myself up, self-loathing, questioning myself, thinking I'm not good enough. Like if you're spending your day doing that, then what we want to do is we want to make sure we close the kitchen in a way that communicates this is how we care for ourselves, because we've been eating to care for ourselves. You're still going to need the act of caring, not mm-hmm. the act of willpower.
True.
Not the act of, you know, sitting on my hands as if eating's a bad thing. I don't think your nighttime eating is a bad thing. I think your nighttime eating has been a symptom of a runaway mind during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So all of you, please hear me when I say this. Your overeating is not a bad thing. It is just a signal that something else is going on. So let's figure that out so you can start truly caring for yourself. This is where we get into that part of we're going to lose some mental weight with that physical weight. Most of us are just trying to do things like, you know, eat less, cut out things, close kitchens. Like we're just trying to do things, but we're not losing our mental weight that started us down the road of overeating and needing those things to begin with. What else? We're going to lose 10 pounds in 8 weeks. So you're already drinking water. You're mm-hmm. doing good on movement. Are you making a plan every day, a food plan?
Yes. Yes, I am. However, I think I'm too loose with, like, I'll say I allow myself two snacks of choice a day. Okay. So that does not locking down exactly what those snacks will be. Is that okay? I mean, I don't know if I'm being too flexible with some ideas like that.
Here's how we know if, so for some people putting, like I could put down literally on my plan, I could put something healthy for lunch. That would work every day. I don't have to get specific because I only keep healthy stuff in the house. I'm not going to run out to make, I know me, I ain't running to no McDonald's. I'm too lazy to even walk outside my door, much less get in the car and drive someplace to go get some food. So like I could do that, but that's because over time I have proven to myself, I'm very consistent. I know my personal boundaries. Like I know when I'm lying to myself. Now, if I was writing that down each day and I was sneaking in like, ooh, this looks good, or I'll just add some of this, I would go back to being more specific. I would give my brain something so that it would be like, it's clear, you're out of bounds for yourself, Corinne. Like one of the things we're going to talk about in Relationships Camp Weekend is boundaries. A lot of times people think we're setting boundaries with people, and the most important boundaries we ever set are the ones with ourselves first. I say in this class, don't expect somebody else to honor your boundaries if you're not good at honoring your own first. Like, you'll probably have a lot of compassion for all the other fuckers out there when, if you can't make a 24-hour plan and follow it, why do you think somebody else is going to like not eat your chips that you had planned? Just it makes sense. So we need to come up with, like, we got to decide when you put two snacks, is that, are you honoring that? It's like, no, I pick consistent snacks, you know.
No, I'm not honoring
problem
it. No, I know I'm not honoring it.
Okay, if you're not honoring, then it's not a technique that's working for you, so it's really good information to know. Mm-hmm. So what you may want to do is get deliberate about your food plan.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing that will happen is you will get very deliberate about your food plan and you'll break it. Mm-hmm. At least you'll learn some shit, but you're already breaking it now. So we can't, like, the worst that will happen is you just keep doing things the way you're doing them.
Right. Yeah. And I'm very consistent. I'm very deliberate about my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I follow that. I would say 90% of the time, it's that snack area to give it. I think that flexibility right now where I'm at is an area that I know I'm not consistent with that, because I'm giving myself that, I feel like I'm giving myself an easy out because.
Well, and here's the thing for all of you. When you put down a couple of snacks, that's if needed, which means I'm actually hungry.
Oh, that's good.
Snacks are not, like, we don't put snacks down. I mean, that's just an old school food plan at that point. Like, now I'm just eating by the clock. I'm not eating by penny. We wouldn't eat by penny. And
that
penny,
if needed, belly, that,
you know?
Yeah, that if needed is really strong because, because I put them on there because I don't want to break my plan, but I like the if needed. And that's, I should know, it's a good reminder. I know that.
So snacks when hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the only one. Everybody forgets this. Like, this is, I think, one of the, because one of the things I don't want to do is tell people no snacking, because some of us need a snack. I will tell you, like, 95% of the time, I never snack. I very rarely need one. I eat 3 times a day most days. Some days I only get 2, depending. If we're real busy, like, my Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it's like a 2 meal a day thing. And I don't sit around and feel deprived or restricted or anything, but I literally don't have a break. So I always figure I'm not going to die if I miss something. Sometimes on those days when I'm done, like I'll get done at 3:30, I don't want to eat dinner just yet. On those days, I might have a snack just so that I'm still hungry at dinner, because I would prefer to eat with Chris when he's done for the day. So, you know, that is one of the most common ones, though, that gets kind of muffled, is that when we really start eating according to our hunger and you really dial it in, most of you are probably only going to eat 3 times a day. You're probably going to notice you don't truly need snacks. You might enjoy snacking. It may pass the time. It might be fun. It's something I look forward to. Like, there's a lot of reasons you might want to eat a snack, but if you really think about, do I actually need one? The body usually will tell you no. And then that just begs the question of, all right, what else can I do in my life to where I can quit looking forward to food being a highlight for me? What do I need to be doing and thinking about my life that doesn't make that the peaceful place, my, you know, little fantasy island I go to for my afternoon treat, whatever it is. So, okay. This literally, I think, is it.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, this is not a scared shitless zone, in my opinion. Yep. 5 and 7 nights, you get to keep dessert, and you're going to just leave room for it when you have it versus just, you know, like eating a full thing. I have a feeling that you probably, I would love for you to journal on your thoughts about including desserts.
Okay.
Because if you weren't leaving room and doing some shenanigans around it, although I sanction desserts, there may be something deep within you that's like, yeah, it's going to be hard to lose 10 pounds eating desserts, Penny. You know, if that may be there. So just do some journaling on what are my opinions about keeping desserts? Do I believe I can lose weight on them? Why can I lose weight? And what thoughts do I have that are going to get in my way of losing weight while having desserts? So that you're really aware of all of that. Like, one of your thoughts that's probably going to get in the way is when you eat something sweet, it would be better to have something salty too. Mm-hmm. That's a thought that's going to, you need to talk to yourself about why it's not better, why you don't need it, why it's going to be easy for you to let that go, that it won't take a long time to detrain your taste buds. Like, it literally, your taste buds take less than a week to retrain a new way. Your tongue is the strongest organism, muscle in the body, and it's the one that evolves the most throughout your entire lifetime. If you think about humans, you have to keep your taste is one of the core functions of being a human, because when we were in, you know, prehistoric times, we tasted, like, look at babies. The first thing they do is taste everything to see if this is something that they're going to play with. They stick things in their mouth all the time. We're not that much more evolved than a small baby. We stick things in our mouth all the time to be like, have I cooked this enough? Do I think people will like this? Like, we use our mouth for so much validation. All right. Then you're going to make a list of the mental triggers that wind you up. And you're going to, like, I want you to do that, like, every day. What is likely to trigger me today? What thoughts will I have? What would I be thinking? What can I get so aware of that when I do it, I can tell myself, I don't need to do that. I'm unlearning that behavior. I'm unlearning that habit. What do I want to tell myself in this moment? What would be reassuring? Anything you want. So you need to make that list. I want you to close the kitchen with your mantra. Where you're telling yourself, the reason I'm closing this kitchen is because I am learning to be the kind of person who can just relax with themselves at night. That I, like, am learning to like myself so much that I can be with myself and it not be a problem. Okay. And then a deliberate plan. Your food plan should be deliberate, not loosey-goosey. And you're just going to eat your snacks when you're hungry. I think that's it.
I want to get a quick picture of this, Corinne, because I know it'll drop in a couple days and I want to have it right there. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I appreciate you.
All righty. Bye, Penny. Bye. All right. Jennifer? Y'all need to make sure you have listened to No BS Module 1. We talk about snacks. We only eat when we're hungry. That means if it's on your plan and you're not hungry, you're not eating it. You're waiting. Let's see if we can get Jennifer up. Jennifer Yearsley. Get you unmuted, get your video going. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, I'm going to take you in the house because I was thinking it was my Wi-Fi. Hey, thank you so much for selecting me. And I have a very similar problem to everybody else, but it's a little bit different in that I'm down 31 pounds. So I'm going to say that first. So okay. I worked really hard to get there. I've been in this for 2 years, and I spent about a year just in the Deuter, we had a loss and I was grieving, and I just kind of like just stopped doing no BS altogether. The last year I've really gone all in and done really well. And now I just found out that my mother-in-law has cancer and I'm really scared. And I have days when, you know, everything sort of converges and I'm just really depressed and, you know, upset. And I'm afraid that if she doesn't make it, I'm going to go back to what I did before, which was just give up. And
tell me why you won't do that this time.
I know I have the tools. I know I have a lot of tools now. So I keep trying to prove that to myself. You've got the tools, you're doing this, you're down 31 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got your thought work and all that stuff. I did prove to myself the other day a little test of that, because my daughter had a huge autistic meltdown. I was very, very upset. I spent 2 days depressed and crying, and I, for the first time, felt the feels. And I never used to do that. I used to bottle it up. And I did manage to pull myself out of it in 2 days. So I know I can do it. But I'm just a little scared that this will be so much bigger, that, like, what if she goes down the road of pain and suffering for a long time? Will I be able
to? What if she does? What could you do if she does?
I need to find ways. And I was just listening to what you were saying to one of the other callers, is find ways to care for myself, right? That isn't self-loathing. But a lot of times I found, like, when I was in that crying episode, I said to myself, well, you could get up and go to the gym. And I didn't. I just said, no, I just want to sit here and do nothing. I want to lay around and cry instead. Okay. You know, and
there's,
I guess,
nothing wrong with laying around and crying when you feel bad about something. Now, if you were laying around and crying, feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah. I was.
That's where we want to, and that's not even wrong. You just want to be aware of the difference between what is unnecessary suffering and what is real suffering.
Right.
So, like, I'll give you an example of, I'll take the autistic fit. I can actually take the cancer one. My grandparents raised me, and both of them died of, one died of pancreatic cancer, which is a fucking beast. The other one died of stomach cancer, which was a fucking beast. I mean, they're just awful. Which one?
Stomach.
Yeah. Okay. So I have, I have all the experience you need. Let me tell you how I handle it, because when my grandfather was going through it, I had not lost my weight yet.
Right.
But I had just met Chris and I didn't handle it well. When my grandmother went through it, I had lost my weight, and it was one of the first times that I was terrified that I would regain my weight.
Right there.
Yeah. And so one of the things that we have to understand is, so let's take the autism fit.
Okay.
There is what I call unnecessary, I'm just going to call it unsuffering.
Okay.
All right. This is where you take the blame. This is my fault.
Yes.
I've done something wrong. So we a lot of times we take the blame. It's called future casting, which is never good. Future casting is, I'm going to go off into the future and imagine doom and destruction. Like, all I'm going to do is I'm going to picture worst case. You're future casting right now. So mother-in-law is your mother-in-law, correct?
Yeah.
Mother-in-law has cancer and your brain is future casting. Okay. You know, you're going to be like the last time. What if it's really terrible and blah, 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 blah. Like, your brain is wanting to go to worst case scenario. Our brain does that because it thinks it's going to protect you. All mm-hmm. it does is it does what's called pre-mourning and pre-grieving.
Yeah.
This sucks, because while they're here, we're treating them like they're dead.
Right.
And then when they're dead, we wish we had more time.
Right.
So when we pre-mourn someone and we pre-grieve, I promise you, I probably have coached over 1,000 people at this point around cancers and different things like that. the people who suddenly lose someone and the people who have an opportunity to be with their loved one hurt equally when they're gone.
Right.
If it's traumatic, we have a whole host of shitty thoughts. We have a whole host of grieving that goes on. If it was a long drawn out process, we have another large group and swath of it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't save ourselves pain by being in pain ahead of time.
Okay.
So this is what I call unnecessary suffering stuff. And this is the stuff you want to be watching out for. So that when you're doing it, you want to remind yourself, like if you're blaming yourself for your child, you know, like I'm going to talk about this at Relationships Camp. My scripts are pretty personal this time. The ones where I teach y'all some lessons. And one of the ones I talk about is how long I hated myself for Logan's autism.
Right.
I took all of it. And it took me a long time of realizing what a wedge that was driving between me and my child. I couldn't love him the way I wanted to because I felt so bad about what I had done to him. And yeah. Then after a while, what I realized is I have a child and all I really ever wanted was to love him. And I was the only one stopping it by doing bullshit like this and future casting his, you know, whatever his life would be. And so I journaled a lot about that, but a lot of it was noticing when I was unnecessarily suffering and telling myself, we are not doing that. You can cry, you can be sad, you can do all kinds of stuff, but you can't take the blame. You cannot future cast. Okay. And we're not going to act like somebody's dead before they're dead.
Okay.
So then there's normal suffering. Normal suffering.
So much.
Normal suffering is what you want to feel, which is things like, of course, I'm sad. I love them. I will miss them when they're gone.
Right.
It is hard to care for someone. I mean, both my grandparents, I always took the night shift.
Right.
We didn't ever leave them alone. I don't think either one of my grandfather was in the hospital for 6 months and he didn't have one night where he stayed alone.
Right.
And I was the one that stayed most of the time. And I would just tell myself, yeah, you're fucking tired.
Yeah.
You're up with someone every night. And like, there's nothing wrong with feeling bad about certain things. Like seeing my grandfather naked, you know, there was a lot of shame for both of us during that time, but he needed someone to take him to the bathroom. Right. You know, that's the stuff you want to tell yourself. Normal suffering. I should be tired. I'm going to miss them. This is the normal part of life. But this right here just sets you up for a lot of despair.
Okay.
So that's like the first thing is just to do that. But for you, it's like, are you going to allow yourself to believe that you'll handle it? You will come out on the other side.
Right.
And that you know more now about how to feel your emotions than you ever have.
Yeah.
And that's what sets you apart from the last part, the last version of you.
I guess I have a question, like on the heels of that little crying episode that I had, I found that I was going back all in, but I was having some sabotage-y behavior. Like I was just kind of grabbing for the sugary things a little bit more. I knew I was looking for the dopamine hits. And I guess in those moments, like I can journal on all this and this is really, really helpful and I will be doing that. But I'm thinking about like when I feel impulsive and I feel like I think what happens is sometimes I just don't want to be depressed anymore. I don't want to feel the feelings because I'm used to bottling them up. And so I start grabbing for the Cadbury eggs and a glass of wine and things like that. I guess it's like, what do I do in those little moments when those are those
things? You set it down. You just set it down. Like, I mean, like, I know this sounds crazy, but you just set it down and you don't tell yourself that I can't handle this or whatever. You give yourself a good reason why you're setting it down. Just that, like this is not what I want to do.
Okay. That simple, huh?
I know that sounds crazy, but that really is. And what we do is we overcomplicate it.
Right.
We want to feel good in order to set it down.
Right.
And most of the time, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Most of the time, we're going to set it down and it's not going to feel thrilling and it's not going to be exciting because we're left with the emotion that we were going after the food to begin with.
Right.
But what you can do is you can generate a little bit of compassion for yourself. I know the reason why I'm wanting wine right now is because I am sad and depressed, but I also know that drinking wine will leave me sadder and more depressed because I won't be able to hear what's really going on for me. I'll be blaming cancer rather than finding the thoughts creating the sadness and depression.
Gotcha. I'm writing this down. This is so helpful. Oh my God. Because I have been listening to so many replays and actually getting my notebook out now. And it's amazing when you start writing notes how much more you learn instead of watching while you're cleaning the kitchen.
Yeah.
But this has just been one thing that I'm like, okay, I'm almost there, but I got to figure this little part out because I know that, here I go, future casting again, but I know that that things are going to get harder and harder and I need to be ready for it because I don't want
this. Rather than saying things will get harder and harder and I need to be ready, because that's almost like you're bracing yourself.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
I know things will get harder and I know I'll figure it out too.
Right.
Like, thinking about, like, there's nothing wrong with imagining, like, let's say my mom got diagnosed with cancer or something like that happened. You know, I would know what's in store. I've already been through it twice. But I would probably also tell myself, like, I am in a position to be able to, like, help her. I've already been through this a couple of times. I know what's coming.
Right.
You know, and even if you don't know exactly what's coming, it's like, you know enough that you know y'all will figure it out.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I did not regain my weight with my grandmother. And I even had a 2.5-year-old.
Right.
Spending the night at my grandmother's every night, then having to come home and take care of Logan. And I had to sleep on the floor because she didn't have a guest room.
Oh, wow. not fun times for sure.
I'm going to tell you, thank God that happened in my 30s. My 40-year-old back handled the floor. We went and got an air mattress. I don't know why I didn't think of it, but
we need more sleep these days.
Yes. But it was, you know, I just made it happen. You know, it was not as fun to be over there without, like, I mean, I could have easily ordered pizza. I could have justified 1,000 different things. Every day, Chris would take me over there at 9 o'clock at night before my mom. My mom was working night shift at a hospital.
Right.
He would take me at 9 before she had to leave. And I'd bring my little Weight Watcher meals with me, my cut up fruit, and stick it all. And I kept food at my grandmother's fridge. And then if my grandparents were in the hospital, I asked the nurses, can I bring food and put it in his fridge? You wouldn't believe how accommodating hospital are for people who are going to stay and help where, you know, the nurses get some help from the family.
My mother-in-law is in England, so we're going to have to add the travel to it now, too. And I don't know, you know, how long we'll be able to stay and all that stuff. So it's going to be, we can do it. Yeah. They have grocery stores there.
They have grocery stores.
Yep.
There's no airport in the world that doesn't have healthy food options anymore. I've been to many of them. I travel them all the time. Right. You really want to stay on track, you can stay on track. And airplanes don't serve booze right now, so you won't even be able to drink wine.
Wow. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you got to keep that mask on, mama.
Oh, my God.
Too many people airplanes right now. So, you'll do better. Like, this is what I want you to think. Like, it'll get hard, but I bet I handle this better than I believe right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Corinne, so much. And by the way, you look beautiful today.
Thank you. I didn't even wash the hair today. It's still wet from that run.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm like, y'all, I'm literally breaking, what do they call it, a cardinal rule for all of us Catholics. When you have tape-ins, you're not supposed to leave it wet. I'm like, I'm getting them redone tomorrow. So I figured, well, half my hair falls out today, it won't be that big a deal. All right. That's all the people that had their hand raised. So I tell you what, we'll just get out of here early. We'll call this quick and super effective coaching. I will be back at in 40 minutes for regular weight loss coaching. We got four people lined up with awesome stuff. Losing 100. I hope this call was helpful for you. Please take the things that we talked about and use them. And I will see you guys in about 40 minutes. All right. Bye, y'all.